الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: كل نفس ذائقة الموت ثم إلينا ترجعون. صدق الله العظيم. There was a sitting of the awliya of the time around 4 centuries away. Mirza Mazhar Jane Jana Rahmatullah Ali, he is the Sheikh of Qazi Sanaullah Panipati Tafsir Mazhari, very great luminaries. He was so great that the Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, we normally link our chain of hadith to Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he would say that all the awliya of the time have been shown to me like the lines on my palm, and today I don't see any person as great as Mirza Mazhar Jane Jana Rahmatullah Ali. So there was a sitting, and the discussion was, if it was announced that whatever you ask for, you will get, so what will you ask for? So every person gave his own suggestion, his emotions, whatever was in his mind, expressed it. At last, they turned towards Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and if you were given the chance, then what would you have said? Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as well as all the Anbiya Alayhi Wasallam, were given certain blessings. Like, for example, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's, one of the blessings that he was exclusive to him was, the spoils of war are made halal for me. جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. The whole world, anyway, so long as it's park, I can perform my namaz there, and I can make ablution, water, or tayammum. So amongst those exclusive favors that were given to all the Anbiya, so one favor that was given to all is that you will have a special dua that you will be guaranteed acceptance for. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the Anbiya alayhim salam had made their dua for whatever, and I have reserved my dua for my ummah on the day of Qiyamah. People will be struggling, people like us, and his concern was, وَلَنْ أَرْضَ وَاحِدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي فِي النَّارِ. I can't be happy, I can't be pleased whilst one of my ummati is in Jahannam. So I postpone my gift for that day. Nonetheless, Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, so they directed the question towards him that if you were given this blessing, then what would you have asked for? So he says that I would have asked for good company. It made me think when I read the article, because the statements of these great awliya are very great. They are great, the statements are great. Not only great, but they are very deep as well. And most of the time, we cannot get to appreciate them in the first instance. Read them. But alhamdulillah, the blessings of our elders. I had, in all my life, I had a lot of conviction in their statements. Some I got to understand with time, and some I understood straight. But I would keep it, preserve it in my mind, and then with time unraveling, you begin to see the secrets or the mysteries of their dua. So this dua of the right company. So if you read up the Anbiya alayhim salam and their last, somebody saying, وَأَلْحِنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, join me up with the righteous. Some Nabi is saying, وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَدِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ, by your grace, join me up with the righteous. Nabi Sallallahu last words, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالرَّفِيقِ الْعَلَى, with the highest companion. So all are asking for the same thing. Now, what's so great about the right company? The greatness of the right company is, if you got them in this world, you got them in the next world, then you got a preservative. So the preservative is in proportion to your bond with them. This world has been created as a Darul Asbab. Everything has got a means. You want children, then there's a procedure. You can't just be making dua. You have to follow procedure. It was done once for Maryam alayhi salam, that without the intervention of a male, and she got a child, right? But never to be repeated, and for obvious reasons. Because every prostitute can say that maybe Maryam bibi hum. I'm also like that. So that time the wahi was still coming, and the wahi can support the statement. Now the wahi is all terminated. So if someone has to say that I am like Maryam alayhi salam, how is it going to be supported? So it's done once and over, not to be repeated. So this association with the righteous, that's a preservative. You know, everything has got a preservative. You've got a cold ring, and the cap is the preservative. The goodness, the quality of the drink that you are drinking, it's capped and sealed, so it's preserved. But if the cap is removed, then as good as the cold ring may have been, it doesn't fetch that type of value. Why? The cap has been removed. In fact, in Jannat also, the cap, will there be a cap? Khitamu misk, a cap. To preserve the contents, the goodness, the freshness, the quality. So they also will have a cap. And a Muslim also is preserved with a cap. You got a topi, right? Then will you want to go into a brothel? There'll be something stopping, right? I can't do this, I can't do this. How can I, what people will say? So that becomes a preservative in the life of a Muslim. Just the clothing of the Anbiya, or the clothing of the pious, preserves you. Then linking yourself with them, then how much more will it be a preservative? Just the attire, right? Just that it preserves you, then joining up with them, then what happens? I don't know, I just touched this topic, right? When you touch a topic, then Allah Pak allows the contents to flow. So, there was one person, I think his name was Ahmad Hussein or something, and he had some ta'aluk with his Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. One alim. So there was an invite from Calcutta to do the laying of the foundation of a masjid. Invited him, and like these people are simple, he went up. So before going up, he spoke to one young alim, Ihtisham Sahib. So Alhamdulillah, I've seen all these three brothers, Mawlana Iftikhar, Mawlana Izhar, and Mawlana Ihtisham, all three brothers. Mawlana Izhar Sahib was in the Merkaz, and Mawlana Ihtisham Sahib was a younger brother. Mawlana Iftikhar Sahib was somewhere in Kandla. Good muhaddis he was. And we got that one hadith from him. Zamzam lima shuri balahu. He was with the sanad. So he saw this young alim, and he says, it is sunnat to travel with someone, not to travel alone. So you join me, and you'll be the amir. A little bit of hesitation, so alright. It's your instruction, so I'll be the amir. So anyway, they started the journey. After some times, Mawlana Ihtisham saw that he's got a bout of diarrhea. So he tells the Mawlana, he tells this person that's not an alim, but Biyat was Mawlana Ghawir Rahmatullahi, see, you appointed me as the amir. And your tahajjud goes at about 2-2.5 hours every day. So your amir is instructing you that you're not going to get up for tahajjud, because I can see you're dehydrated. Such a bout of diarrhea, you're going to stand up like this, condition is going to worsen. So he didn't respond to him, didn't say anything. Then just about an hour left for tahajjud, so this Mawlana says that I felt someone touching my toe. I got up, and I saw this Ahmad Bhai that was a murid. He's in tears, he can't hold himself. He says, see, I'm bi'at at the hands of Mawlana Ghawir Sahib Rahmatullahi for the last 40 some odd years. From that time till now, I haven't missed one tahajjud. And I ask you the blessings of Mawlana that allow me to perform my namaz. You're the Amir, and I can't go against you. You see this association and how refined your thinking becomes, how much you become conformative to the hadith. Anyway, they reach the site where they need to lay the stone. So he says to the Mawlana, see, Mawlana, you're still young and you need to work still. So I'll jump in the pit. You will not jump in the pit to lay the stone, because if you jump and you hurt yourself, then it'll be an obstruction in your dini work. So I get hurt, it's alright, I'm not doing anything constructive, it's alright if I get hurt. See, the understanding, how profound the understanding becomes. Nonetheless, Mawlana had, Ahmad Bhai had, a loan to settle, about 1,000 rupees some odd. So, proportionate to that loan, someone came and offered a gift. So Mawlana refused to take that gift. After a day or something, one person gave about 15 rupees, Mawlana accepted that. So, what I noticed in our elders, that the relationship with the senior, the junior, was very open and free. So that it's a time for us to learn from our senior, and if we are going to keep ourselves bottled, then we may have some suspicions, baseless suspicions. But no grounds for the suspicion, idhar ki baat, udhar ki baat, you're from here, there, etc. And your mind will be loaded with suspicion. So, I saw in one situation, he refused flatly, and the other situation, a meager amount of 15 rupees given, and he accepted. So he asked him, by the first situation, you didn't accept. And the second time you accepted, what happened? He says, see, when the 1,000 rupees came, it was proportionate to the loan, right? And I was aspiring for something to happen so that my loan can be settled. So this is a type of israf, is asking, you know. And though I didn't say anything verbally, but I had this in mind that something will happen and my loan will be settled. So this is a type of asking and begging. So therefore, I flatly refused. And that 15 rupees came, and I had no aspiration. At that time, there was no aspiration, no desire, nothing. It came beyond, against my expectation. So the hadith says that if something is brought to you, and you're not expecting, nor did you ask, then it was accepted. Because then what happens, that it came without expectation, and without you asking, and the person is giving with a good niyat, there's nothing wrong in his niyat, you don't accept it, then at the time of need also your needs will not be taken care of. So in the second instance I accepted, and the first one I didn't accept. But you see, just that association and how the thinking improves. In the stories of the spires, there's a lot of things to understand. So if you got the association here, and you got the association in the hereafter, I say, is there anything that you can ask beyond that? You got the association here. That's your safety and your protection. And you got the association in that realm. Then what? Bilal's incident is quite popular. So he's on the last throes. And when he's in the last throes, so his wife is crying. And he says, غَدًا نَلْقَ الْأَحِبَّ, as though the picture is before him. You can see in the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba Ikram, what a day, tomorrow, just anxious to see tomorrow. Because I'll meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'll meet the Sahaba Ikram, I'll see my friends that are long and far away. So tomorrow I'm going to see them. What a beautiful day. You see that if we have got Jannat, but we don't get to associate with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I say, Jannat mein koi maza aayega. Would there be any enjoyment? That we got the Jannat, but we didn't get to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jannah easily and freely. Would there be any joy there? So this association of the right. And it comes gradually, but just that association has to be kept right to the end. As the Jima Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah should say, says that for this to come, you know, to get that real correction, they talk of fana, etc. But someone this morning came to ask me, when they talk of fana, what do they mean? So I say, all these things have got their roots in the hadith. But just that, what we do is, we don't apply our minds. If you apply minds, you'll find the thing. See, there's a hadith in Bukhari Sharif, where a person keeps on progressing, hatta akuna yadahu allati yabtishu bihi. I become his hand, I become his tongue. So, he's like, what do you mean? How can Allah become your hand, etc.? Right? Understand. So it's a long explanation to this, right? But I had to circumvent it to make him understand. I say, just look at the situation, right? Someone is hypnotized, right? Hypnotized, right? So when the person is hypnotized, so whose actions is he subjecting himself to? See? That hypnotist, right? He subjected himself. Is it that he's doing his own thing, or the actions or the thinking of the person that's hypnotizing him, he's in the trance now, and he's just carrying out the action. He doesn't even realize. So that fana means that to the extent you have lost your own rai. Your rai, you've left it out. Your opinion, your suggestion, and you have then drowned your thought into Allah Ta'ala, total to Allah Ta'ala. Then, as though you are the front. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ. As though you are the front, but it is the hand of Allah Ta'ala. But then I said him, then he says, but how you reached it? The youngsters now, they want to reach him. No. One shot they were to reach. But anyway, sometimes I take a chance. Maybe one day he'll become a buzur. He'll overtake us. Maybe his blessing will get chucked in. So I told him, see, you know, you have to come to the madrasa. The whole maqsad was to learn the Quran and the hadith, right? Wasn't it? But when they admitted you, they started you with fa'ala and all that. Or the primary Arabic grammar. Now, you are thinking to yourself, but hey, this thing, how is it going to help me? But this is the stepping stone to that point. You want to reach the straight, it won't happen. So you'll have to go to the sequence, and then you'll reach. Otherwise, it'll be speculation. Let me take a chance here, let me take a chance here, I'll do this, I'll try this, and I'll get right. So it's speculation. So it's a whole sequence. You follow the sequence. What happens is you feel that level of conviction, certainty, because the sequence requires that you need to have that type of conviction on the instructor. The one is teaching you, is guiding you. You need to have that type of. Al-Mawad Thami Sabarham says that you have to have i'tiqad and i'timad, the faith in the person and the trust in him for you to be able to reach. Now, you don't have that faith, nor you have that type of confidence, and you want to reach. So, ye khyalast, wa mahalast, wa junoob. You know, try your own thing, that this is just an illusion, it's just a thought, and it's stupidity. So, the sequence that was followed, that has been followed, that sequence has to be followed, and it has to remain. And that requires that you hold the hand of someone. None of your choice, but overall, as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, it must be a muttaqi. Now, who's a muttaqi then? So, Ibn Umar says, the muttaqi is that person who doesn't only leave out wrong, but the areas that are not clear in him, mahaqa fi sadrik, is clouded, he can't see it so clearly. So, he doesn't only leave out those things that are totally haram, but even those things that he is not clear about, some ambiguity, so he leaves out. That is now taqwa. And then taqwa is the prerequisite for any type of acceptance. Innama yataqabbalu Allahu min al-muttaqin. So the Quran Sharif is saying that acceptance is only for the muttaqi. Innama yataqabbalu Allahu min al-muttaqin. It is not what you think. It is what Allah wills. Therefore, Ibn Masud should say, if I know one rakat of mine, one subhanallah of mine is accepted, then that's better for me than the entire world. Because when Allah accepts, then there's no cancellation. He'll accept because his knowledge covers all times, all persons, all places. So when he's accepted, then that is eternal. There's no cancellations to that. See? That's when he's accepted. Like the examples that they give, are very pertinent, and you need to understand, digest them. Like you see a fruit, right? Very immature, small. It becomes mature, then it comes to the point of ripeness, right? When it's fully ripe, does it come green again? So similar, when Allah accepts you, then He doesn't reverse, then you don't reverse. But then, how does that happen? The whole process, how does it happen? So it's got a sequence. And you have to follow the sequence to reach up there. Otherwise, if you're going in circles, you think I'm reaching, and the whole basis will be on some spiritual experience or some dream. But the dream or the spiritual experience is not the criterion. It's not a criterion. It's a guesswork. You think it's going to happen. Something you think that. And the dream may be directing you to something totally different, but you begin to think, no, I'm accepted because of this dream. So the reasoning goes off. And the reasoning goes off because this lack of humility, obviously. Humility, that fana requires humility. And humility requires that you just lower yourself before someone senior. If the child is admitted into the nursery, right? And that at the nursery level, he asks that ustad or the teacher that why is alif written like this? And not like B or Ba, right? Why is not written like that? And why Ba is not written like Jim? So the Ustaz say, "Bhai, now you just carry on. In time to come, you'll get to know why this has to be like this. This is the formation, this is the shape. But now you are too small to understand those type of concepts. Now you will just blindly follow me. you blindly follow me, there'll be a time you'll understand this, and you'll be able to teach and instruct the same things to others as well. Well, we have lost that in the most of the Western countries. The thing that they are missing out is this, that we don't want to make fana. One more time, I used to say it repeatedly, mere yahan to pehla kadam fana hai. By me, the first step is just to annihilate your own thinking. Leave your thinking out. Just leave it out. That's the first step. Without you taking this first step, you can't escalate any longer. You'll have to just accept it. There are some things in life that you just accept, right? You don't want to know the reasoning, right? Like, if someone asks you, what's your proof that this person is your father and your mother? What's your proof? Will you entertain or will you negotiate all that? Forget that. This is not subject to discussion. It's a foregone conclusion. It's my parents, my father, my mother. How do you know? Someone has betrayed someone betrayed your father or something. What's your proof? You don't want to entertain that discussion. So some discussions are not supposed to be entered into. You just accept it and you move. But with time, all these mysteries unravel. So the first thing here is this fana. That's the first thing. That is why most of these ulama kiram, great muhaddisin, when they start off their books also, they start off with niyat. Just annihilate all your thinking, just subject it to this type of thought. This thinking is the requirement for your progress. You don't, then you'll be doing things, but your mind will be very uncertain, unsettled. You'll be speculating and you won't know, you won't have the right direction. So we started off with this association, right? And how important it is in this age and time. In the time of the English, the rules ended up in 1947, right? It ended up. So in their time, in the heyday, so one Muslim was working for a building construction. So whilst they were busy at the trench, and he was now supposed to just clean up, everybody's gone, and whilst they're cleaning up, he came across a big block of gold, pure gold, 30, 40 kilos. With all honesty, he went and gave it to the foreman, white foreman, that was in charge of the whole project. Anyway, said and done, everything over. Some years later, the same Muslim that was on this job here, he was convicted for murdering a small child, about 7-8 years of age, stealing the earring and dumping it into a well. Anyway, the whole court proceeding started. He appeared in court. So as he appeared in court, the judge excused himself, says, I want to talk to this convict in private for 10 minutes. So he took him in privacy, and he asks the person that is convicted or accused, do you recognize me? Look carefully, you were the foreman on this side and I was working under you. So the judge is telling, but you remember, then you picked up a block of gold, 40 kilos, and with all honesty you brought it to me. Here this thing is not even 10 grams, right? And you killed this girl, you robbed her of her earring and dumped her into this man. What happened? So he says, you see, kya kare? Us waqt hamara zehen hi aisa tha, aur ab hamara zehen aisa ho gaya. That time, our mind was different. At that time, that haram was worse than excreta, worse than a swine. It was so nauseating to us. We felt so reprehensible about it. But now our mind is gone in this direction, that whatever I can accumulate, I'm going to just accumulate. I'm going to just, however, steal, rob, interest, whatever, fraudulent, but I'm going to just carry on. So the English dismissed the case and he says, this is the corruption, this is a result of the corruption in our administration. At that time, our administration was honest and fair, so it had that type of effect on the subjects. Now our administration is gone off, so this is what has happened to our subjects. But you see, association. But the other thing that we understand from this is also, I'm talking from a madrasa perspective, right? And a domestic front. So we see the child, or we see the student going off, right? So, very seldom will I say, it is our mistake, the mistake of the administration. I will say, oh, his fault, his company, his fault, his home is like that. But how many of us do say that, no, perhaps it's the mistake of our administration that this child is not behaving like how he's supposed to be behaving. See, that man was true. Though he was a kafir, but he was true that it's a fault of our administration that caused this type of thinking to prevail in this person here. So we need to correct this thing here. Through the case of نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. That's the way of Allah Ta'ala. He joins people together. Looking at the merit of their actions, they are joined. خَبِيثَاتُ لِلْخَبِيثِينَ خَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ. So that type of action and that type, and that will happen here in this world, that in this world you will feel inclined to that type of people, right? Right. And on the day of Qiyamah, that will be exactly the same situation. وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ ذُو وِجَدْ. People of one type, one category, all grouped up. And that will be such an embarrassing moment. Imagine now, someone had LG tendencies, right? And this announcement, all the LGs, إِذَا النُّفُوسُ ذُو وِجَدْ, all grouped together. Now that will be in the presence of your father, mother, your child, your son-in-law, daughter-in-law, your grandfather, everybody will be watching. Sure, this was what this person was doing in the quiet. He showed himself to be something else, and today this is the position. This type of ayat is about 20 pages in the Quran. Just check up, you'll find. Hadha yawmul fasl. This is a day of sorting out. Right? Wamtazul yawma ayyuhal mujrimun. Right? Again, same thing, same, exactly the same thing. Maybe the words are different according to the sequence and the context, but the message is the same, that this will be the day of sorting out. So, do we view ourselves on that day? How will we fare on that day, on the day of Qiyamah, where nothing can be concealed? Nothing, absolutely. Everything is clear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is concealed. Just that brings some sense and brings some understanding to our minds. Right? And this is where we are failing. Most of us don't think of that day. If we think of the day, then I had situations, professional people, and they say, you know what, Jannat, etc., is just an illusion, it's just a spiritual state. So I ask him, well, what do you mean by a spiritual state? He said, no, if you do good, you'll feel good spiritually. And if you don't do good, you feel agonized, you feel distressed if you don't do good. So it's not a reality, it's not a realm, it is just a spiritual experience, a mental feeling. Okay, get your iman right. That realm, the realm after this realm, that is inna dara al-akhirata lahiya al-hayawan. That is life. Wallah, that life in the qabr is more lively millions of times than the life here. Millions of times, no exaggeration, just one step into that realm, and that life is more lively, 100 times, million times more than the lives that we are going through. But now, we disregard that. We don't understand the gravity. We disregard it, consider it to be a very insignificant thing, and then we plunge ourselves into problems, into difficulties. We leave this out, get into the wrong type of company. The wrong company doesn't have to mean drugging or all, right? Even the thinking is gone off. Thinking is gone off. A few days back, there was a need to go for a condolence, right? So, there was a professional person. So, in that whole sitting, he's talking about Darwinism and baboon and monkey and all that. And he's talking about his origins. Now, he's a namazi, said everything. But this is what he believes to be his origins, until we have to go and correct the person by, this is the reality. Now at that age, now 50, 60 years of age, when he's talking this language, so what is the position of his iman? Allah Pak is saying, خَلَقَكُم مِّن تُرَابٍ. We made you out of dust. Made your father out of dust, right? And now he's going to be tracing his lineage to monkeys and donkeys, right? But you see how it goes off. It goes totally off. But where this thing starts off, it starts off because of type of association. And association is not just the person that you're talking. It's also the material, the content that you're reading. A risalu, risalatu nisful liqa. Reading a content is also like a mulaqa, like a meeting up. Because that person is talking to you through that content, through that book he's talking to you. He must have an impression in your mind. You're reading it again, learning, sorting it for the exams, writing the thing. But last week, a girl in university, and she's asking me through the email, and we have to attend this type of classes, and we read up this material, we have to write this thing here. So, is it right for us to be attending those classes, writing this type of articles, as though we believe in that? I said, both are wrong. وَذَرِ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ. And again, the Quran says, فَلَا تَخْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِ. You understand now what it is. You're not allowed to be sitting with them. نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَوُ. فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ. Not supposed to be sitting there. إِنَّكُمْ إِذَمْ مِثْلُهُمْ. And if you remain seated, then you'll be like those people. Why? Why is this taken so seriously? So I had to explain that woman. She's asking now, why it's so taken so seriously. I said, just, see, people don't understand concepts unless there is an illustration. There's an illustration with an example, then you understand. Otherwise, you don't understand. So what do you mean? I'm in university, I don't have any understanding. I've got no brains. Yeah, you don't have brains. Somebody will be straight. Tell them what it is. It's not a credit. Someone offers you a bowl of sweets, right? Very expensive, good sweets. But some unreliable person tells you that one sweet perhaps is poisonous. I'm going to eat of that. One sweet perhaps is just my guess, you know. And there is a specialist surgeon sitting around. He can administer some medications and flush it out of your system, right? Are you going to take a chance with your life? So for a physical damage, you are so particular. And for a spiritual damage, you take it so casual. If that, what is taught in that book, settles in your heart, right? And then you come to terms with it and you can't flush it out of the system. Phir tumhara iman ka kya hoga? I said, you know, astaghfirullah. I was happy at that moment that she accepted the mistake. No matter where she was, but she accepted the mistake when I illustrated the whole thing through an example. Well, now that's the problem, that they don't just understand concepts. Until you don't give them illustrations, proper illustrations, that they can understand and relate to. So you see, the zamana is such, in my understanding, one of the more important things to touch on and to keep reminding is the articles of faith, that get the iman right. Because that is now the foundation. That thing is right. Everything else is right. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, right? Whenever I think of him, the more I think of him and I read his articles, I'm convinced that he was a man that was inspired by Allah Ta'ala. I think of him again, I think, you know, I must come to that conclusion, right? Although I'm not active in the Jamaat, Allah Pak forgive me for that. But I feel that, because he says, Maine is Jamaat ka koi naam nahi rakha. I haven't kept a name for this Jamaat. Lekin bilfarz agar naam rakhta to ye naam rakhta tahreek iman. I didn't keep a name, but had I chosen to keep a name for this Jamaat, I would have said tahreek iman, the Imani movement. So he understood it. Now he's passed away about 80 some odd years ago, 1940 some, about 43, yeah? Oh, yeah. 44, yeah. More on those old dates. 44, so some 80 years ago he passed away. But he could see that this is what's coming. And this is what we need to speak about, discuss, get this thing right, imaniyat, within our homes, within our families, in the home front, in the friendly front, yeah, everywhere. You know, on a lighter note, you know, when there was this virus story, right? So anybody and everybody was telling you, hey, you must be careful, eh? Don't be irresponsible, mask, keep a distance, right? So everybody was talking about it. So the virus became such an important thing, like it became like iman. But iman is such a simple thing that we can't be warning and talking about the finer aspects is causing such a collapse in the society, in the community. People are taking a chance and they don't realize that this is what's going on. They don't even realize that this is a damage that's been caused to the iman. The casual thing, the problem now is that people are going on the line of istighfar, legalizing. You see, our books in the madrasas, they will teach about Murjiya, Jahmiya, Mu'tazila, Qadriya, all that. Right? They talk about all these different bid'ah groups. But nobody discusses this istighfar thing, legalizing, right? Legalizing is a fashion of the day. Where it started from liberating, right? Liberating. Liberating yourself from what? Liberating yourself from all religions. Liberate, right? So, the talk of everything to liberate, right? So why must the girl only have half of what the boy has? Why? Gender equality, so why they must have to be equal? So you want to liberate yourself from the parameters of the Sharia, from the shackles of the Sharia. Then when you're out of that, then what? Is there any prohibition then? Is there any parameter? Is there any barrier? No barrier after that. Is this what you would liberate yourself, remove yourself? So that's the point I'm saying. Connect yourself. Tie yourself. Fasten yourself. So at every point, you know, hey, I'll fasten myself and I'll be answerable because I have to keep a very honest relationship with my mentor when there's an honest relationship I have to relate. So that will keep you within the framework. But now you're liberated, then what's going to happen? Muhammad Idris Sahib Kamdelvi Rahmatullahi, great, very great muhaddis, as well as a great, very great mufassir. Very few people understand, but his understanding in hadith and Quran is something of a different level, though people didn't appreciate him. So he speaks about this liberating, what the West has done, right? And he says that this liberating, what does it mean? What does it amount to? It amounts to taking you out from the human kingdom to the animal kingdom. See how he summed it up. From the human kingdom to the animal kingdom. I ask you, I don't know if it's over about how is it, but I was people is loaded with monkeys, right? So monkeys, do they have any law? They'll jump into that yard, popo is right that side, they'll eat one, that one there. This side they'll come, see the nice mango, they eat it. Now would you say it's a big chore? Would you say that? You see them on the street, right? The grandfather is there, granny is there, the niece is jumping onto the granny and everything is happening, right? But you say that they're making so much of zina on the road. Would you say that? They got no shackles of law. Nothing that is subjecting them. They broke all the laws. And they're not subjected. They're not subjected to any law, right? They're not answerable to Allah Ta'ala. When they're not answerable to Allah Ta'ala, so if they have this type of behavior, then you can't say that they are guilty, they are victims, they are doing haram. You can't say that. But we are subjected to law. But if we remove ourselves from this subjugation, then are we any different to animals? Then what will happen? This is Mufti Muhammad Idris Sahib. Mufti Shafi'i Sahib writes in a different language. His language is a little bit more refined. So he says, then what's the end of man? The man is then a very dignified animal. What? Money-making machine. So his whole life is about making money. Money-making machine. So anything else? The Quran Sharif has captured it so well. Zarhum ya'kulu wa yatamatta'u. Zarhum ya'kulu wa yatamatta'u wa yuhihimul amal. Enjoy. Eat and enjoy, right? And have good aspirations. Now today's life, is that anything beyond that? Eat, enjoy, right? Eat, enjoy, and lengthy aspirations. We'll go here, we'll fly up here, we'll have this holiday, buy this type of clothes, that type of car, this type of investment, right? Is there anything beyond these three things? In three words, the Quran says has captured modern life. يَأْكُلُوا وَيْتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ وَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Just now, they've come to their senses. that respite is very short. But when you're young, you think, hey, no, man, it's such a long respite of God. Just now, Sa'akumun Nazir. The warnings have come already, right? You see all this old age, white, etc. Really, there are nothing to be afraid about. There are blessings, there are signs of Allah Ta'ala. By now, ab aankh kholo. Bahut kuch ghaflat mein aapki umar guzar gayi. A lot of your time has gone in ghaflat. You ignore all these things here. Now you see it, on your face you're seeing it. Put a diet, mendi there, but that won't make you young. Go to the gym, it won't make you young. Go and try and go to the best diet, it won't make you young. The time is, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ. You've got a time limit. The time limit comes, you have to cross over. Whether 70, 90, 100, but you have to cross. You can't say that you live beyond that limit. لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ السَّاعَ وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Nobody can cross that limit. So that respite, within that respite, what preparation have you done? That is why the hadith says that أَكْثَرُمْ إِسْتِعْدَادًا لِلْمَوْتِ. Who is the most intelligent person? How we rate it? Hey, I thought Bohr, a doctor, he's a very brilliant person. Very good architect, very good engineer, very good attorney. Why? The words of Nabi Sallam can't be anything better than his words. He says the best person is the person that makes the best and the greatest preparation for death. Finish. Whoever it is, but the best and the greatest preparation for that. So I'll just share one statement of our elders at the end of this talk here. For us to understand this concept. Man has got three friends, right? So one wants to know, what will you do for me? What can you do for me? So the one friend says, see, I'll be with you in your laps. I'll be your darling. I'll do everything for you. Whatever you want, I'll be at your service. But the day your eyes close, I will be the darling of the next man. I will be on his laps. Darling, caress him, give him all the enjoyments. The day your eyes close, I'm gone. The second friend says, you see, I'll be with you. I'll give you all the comforts and the enjoyment. And I will not depart with you with death. But I will enshroud you, give you a ghusl, take you to the qabr, dump you there, cover you up, make dua for you. And then we have to part ways. Life has to continue. Right. That's the second friend. And the third friend says, you know what? You neglected me. You didn't show me any dhyan and attention. You didn't show me any respect. So only at the time of convenience, you know, bepar sahi nahi, makan mein jhagra hai, something is, health is not right. So use me only at the time of convenience, right? Only that have used me. This Pima Beach where I'm an old Muazzin, 1960s. So he used to say, lo aina shlupega and a figure la masjid. Lo aina shlupega, I figure. He should say, I remember he used to say that. Well, person has got trouble, he's coming to the masjid. No trouble, no come. So his observation, he's sitting back, he's a Malawian, but he's watching what's going on. All the drama is before him. See? So we're using Allah Ta'ala just for the convenience. Business, children, health, etc. only at that time. So the third friend says, you see, you only use me for the convenience. But whatever you did for me, I know you disregarded me, disrespected me. But I will remain with you right throughout the life. When you die, I'll be with you. When you jump into that hole, I'll be with you. And until the whole interrogation process ends up, and I don't put you into Jannah, I'll remain with you. So the first brother is wealth, right? It's your darling until your eyes remain open. Second friend is your family and folks, right? They'll be with you, bury you, etc. They are your folks, right? And the third brother is the Iman and your Amal. That thing is with you, right? Till they put you into Jannah. Now, we think and analyze ourselves, right? What type of dhyan and attention we're giving to this third brother that is volunteering to give us that cover right to the end. They give us a cover, right? But it was a short cover. The other one also gave a short cover. But this was a complete, perfect cover. What type of dhyan, what type of attention, what type of respect are we showing it? Allah grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.